This is the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
You know, bodies are funny things. They betray us. They don't always do what we want them to do. Our bodies are imperfect things. We know this. I think all of us learn this if we have the blessing of growing older. Our bodies don't act the way that we think they should anymore. I used to be able to do this, and now, well, I can't. My balance is a little wobblier. My strength is a little weaker. I was just speaking to my grandmother this past week, and she's had some trouble with her body. She's been dizzy in the morning, unsteady on her feet. This unsteadiness and this dizziness ended up her up in the hospital. And after her most recent visit and some conversation with family, they decided it was time for her to move out of her house. She was still in the house she had raised all 9 of her kids in. This beautiful little yellow house in a small town in western Nebraska. 2 stories with very steep stairs up to the next level. She moved out into a new place, a little apartment in an area where there were a lot of other people there her age. And she was so happy about this move. She was so excited about this move and so at peace with this new state of her body. I was speaking to her, she was getting ready for my aunt and uncle to come visit. They still have the yellow house in Trenton. And they're going to use it for guests. And we're going to go, and actually Carolyn and Eden and I go visit her here in October around Eden's birthday. He's never been out there. But as I talked to her, she was just kind of saying, "Well, as long as I sit down, I don't notice. But once I stand up and start doing something, I'm like, oh, I'm old all of a sudden." Our bodies are funny things. They don't do what we want them to do. Sometimes they make us stumble. Sometimes they're just not doing the right things. In wrestling in high school, my body I always could picture the moves that I wanted to do in my mind, the takedown or the pin or the turn or whatever it was, but sometimes my body just wouldn't react the way I wanted it to, not fast enough or not strong enough. And I'd end up getting thrown down, never made the varsity. My body just wouldn't do what I wanted it to. And now, since I had an injury with my hand, where I severed a nerve and a tendon in my hand a couple years back, if you remember, my hand just doesn't do what I want it to. Sometimes our bodies can be beaten into submission, or we can do some training, or we can work hard and teach them to do things, and sometimes, well, ability is just gone. Sometimes there's just a loss. Sometimes there's just something that our bodies can't do anymore. In the gospel reading, Jesus talks a bit about bodies in a pretty shocking way, right? If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, throw it away. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off, toss it away. If your eye causes you to stumble, rip it out. Jesus, the scriptures say, never spoke except in parables. So in these words, there is a teaching he's trying to open us up to, a truth that he's trying to speak to us to in this evocative, shocking way. And it's not necessarily that every time we stumble, we should look at one of our feet and say, oh, well, this foot did that, I'm going to blame this one and cut it off and throw it out. This is a different sort of stumbling. This is a different sort of thing going on here. What is this that Jesus is talking about? If it's not about self-mutilation, what is this that Jesus is urging us to? What's the truth that he's trying to open up for us in this parabolic, shocking way? When I was in high school, I got to go to the National Youth Gathering with my church. It was down in Atlanta. Coming up next year, our kids will have an opportunity to go to the National Youth Gathering, and it'll actually be here in Minneapolis. Every year that they have a National Youth Gathering, which they have every 3 years, every time they have a National Youth Gathering, there is a theme. The theme when I went was Ubuntu. Have you heard this word before? Ubuntu. I feel like some of you might have heard this word with the connections with the church here in South Africa. This is a word that comes out of Africa. It's a word that's sort of encased in encases a philosophy. The meaning of the word, as we were taught, was Ubuntu. I am because we are. I am because we are. There's a way of opening our eyes up to see that as people, we are not contained in our bodies. That who we are, the essence of our personhood, isn't just limited to our bodies. Actually, what makes up me and what makes up you is not just our body, not just the simple flesh and blood or our minds, but it's our relationships. It's who we're in connection with. It's who we're learning from. It's who we're nurtured by. It's who we love and who we can't stand. All of these things make up who we are as a person. I am because we are. It's this radical way of looking at who we are as a relational being. As humans, we are relational creatures. We get our identities from the groups that we're a part of, from the relationships that we have, from the roles that we play in the lives of others. These relationships are all wrapped up into something that then makes us unique in who we are in this moment and in our lives. Jesus speaks to this too, about who we are, in a way that also invites us to see who we are in relationship to other people. The scriptures talk about Jesus being a body, and all of us being a part of that body of Christ. Have you heard that before? You are part of the body of Christ. That we are part of the body of Christ. That I am because Christ is. That Christ is because we are. That we are all intermixed into one glorious relational reality. That who we are is connected to not just to our relationships here, but also to our relationship with Christ. When we share communion together, we come together and learn that this is one body, and as it's shared into us, that we become part of that body. And so we are members of one another, as the scriptures say. That in our ritual, we practice this. And so with this learning, with this idea, with this teaching of Ubuntu, or being part of the body of Christ, now what does it mean when Jesus says, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, throw it away? Or if your foot causes you to stumble, toss it out? Or if your eye? If our bodies are who we're in relationship with, then this speaks and connects in with the story that was being spoken of just before it in our scriptures. The story about who's really a part of our bodies. The disciples see somebody else. They don't even know their name. A stranger. A random man out there in the world casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And he's not with them. He's not following them. This mirrors and echoes the exact same dynamic that happened in the Old Testament here, where 70 were chosen to be the leaders, to have the Spirit of God poured into them, to prophesy, and through their prophesying, to bring a gift to the people who were hungry. And yet, there are some, Eldad and Medad, who don't go to the party where all the Spirit is doled out. They aren't with the group. They aren't a part of that body, and yet that Spirit manages to connect with them anyway. And there they are prophesying in the camp. And a young person comes and tells Joshua, and Joshua comes and tells Moses and says, Moses, stop them. Cut them off from us. Moses says, oh, if only everybody had this Spirit. They are part of us, even if we can't see it. Or in the words of Jesus, whoever is not against us is for us. They're working in the same way. And in this teaching, in this word, Jesus opens our eyes to see that there is more to our bodies than often we know. There is more to us than we can understand. That there are people in our lives, in the world, who might feel really disconnected. And yet, through their lives and through their work, are moving with us same direction. Whoever is not against us is for us. Jesus speaks of this body, a body that's this holy communion of saints this ununderstandable cloud of witnesses that surrounds us at all times, and that we will not fully experience until the resurrection of the body. When we enter into the kingdom of heaven, I fully believe that there will be people there who will surprise us. There will be people there, we walk in and we'll say, "Oh, you too." And in that glorious, life-giving, life-filled party of heaven, at the table, with a feast that never runs out, we'll be sitting next to people that surprise us. It'll be that resurrected body, whole in Holy Communion, finally. So what about this cutting off part? This hard bit of the scripture? Well, sometimes there's people in our lives that do not bring out the best in us, that do not wish for the best in us. There are people who aren't not against us, but who are actively against us. We all have these people in our lives. People who seem to be working in contrary ways. People who cause trauma in our relationships. People who hurt us and cause us pain. And Jesus, in his word here, I believe is saying, it's okay sometimes to put up that boundary. And to say, you can't hurt me anymore. I'm going to release you from being a part of who I am. Sometimes when somebody hurts us, somebody causes us pain, the human nature inside of us wants to react in ways that are dangerous. Dangerous to ourselves and to the rest of our body, those relationships, the other relationships that we share. We react in pain, sometimes trying to cause pain in return. And Jesus is about stopping the cycle of back and forth pain. So when he says cut it off, he's saying, stop that cycle. It's okay to put up a boundary so that you can be you in love and release that person to be who they can be in love. Jesus shows us this difficult thing. And I think couched it in some difficult words because it's something that we need to think about. It's a decision we need to come to slowly. We have to be careful with it. Because as we cut people off, sometimes that does allow us to live, to move forward in a positive way. But it's also a loss. It's something that we don't have anymore. There's this relationship there that could have been and now won't be. So we let it free. And if we see them in the resurrected body, in that heavenly kingdom, well, then it will be because of God, not because of us. And standing in that glorious kingdom, the resurrection of our bodies, and the resurrected body that is the community of saints, we will know the fullness of who God is and be part of that body together.